Murder and Moonshine, a true crime podcast with a southern twist. Hey y'all, welcome back to Murder and Moonshine. This is Christy.
And this is Misty, and today it's my story.
Yes, it is, and I'm sure you've got some crazy shit for us.
You know I do.
Again today.
And I'm hoping I can get through it. We got some heavy pollen right now.
Girl.
And my allergies are kicking up.
Everybody's is. And I feel so sorry for you guys that have like bad allergies, because I don't.
It's rough
really
right
don't.
Now.
But I'm even taking allergy medicine right now.
I seen this meme the other day that said the pollen's got us like lemon pepper chicken down here. I was like, that is so true. I feel like some lemon pepper chicken down here.
I mean, I can go out if I, which I don't leave my house a whole lot, but when I do, like if I left in the morning and then had to leave again in the afternoon, the car's covered.
Yes.
If you leave it parked out, it's covered.
It even looks hazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pollen's so thick.
Yeah.
So.
But.
Bear with us.
But.
As we're coughing and sniffling.
We got some purple Jesus to help get us through.
Yep. Yep, we do. We do. Jesus is in the house.
Yes.
And we're going to help
him. We're going to need him to help me get through this story without my allergies acting a fool. Because I can't even read. My eyes will start watering and it gets blurry. So I'm trying to read.
What, isn't this from North Carolina?
It is. South Mountain Distilling Company. And it is 64 proof.
Mm.
And it's from Rutherford College.
Rutherfordton.
No, nope, it just said Rutherford. There is a Rutherfordton, but.
Is that two
Rutherford.
Different places in North Carolina?
I think so. Mm. I'm not 100% on that.
Well, whoever made this Jesus, amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It goes down good. It's a beautiful purple color.
I mean, I know y'all are shocked, but we did check it for poison.
Meaning we've had about a half a bottle.
It kind of tastes so tropical. It's got a little coconutty flavor.
It does. It's definitely a summer flavor. God, I'm so ready for summer. Like, straight up beach.
Well,
sitting there.
It's coming.
I'm so going to do that. What's that Domino's delivery? Pinpoint. Pinpoint. Oh. Pin drop delivery.
Get your pizza
girl.
On the beach.
Hell yeah.
It's like a fat girl dream.
Fuck yeah.
Love it. With that extra sauce, bitch.
Mm.
I'm hungry right now.
We love some sauce.
So we should take some purple Jesus on an empty stomach right now, because you know that is bound to help.
Yeah, that's always a good option.
It's going to make me a great reader.
Between the allergies and the moonshine.
Yes, watering eyes and moonshine. Yeah, y'all bear with me.
Fill your cups up. Cheers, bitches. Mm. It really is good.
Yeah.
You know, you said you tasted coconut.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily taste coconut, but it does taste tropical.
Yes.
Period.
I feel like it's got a hint of coconut at the finish.
Maybe
at
a
the
little
finish.
Suntan lotion.
Yeah.
Taste.
I like that.
But it's good.
I do. I dig it. So, let's throw out some trigger warnings then.
Oh, we're going straight into it.
Yeah.
All right. What have we got today?
We are going to have sexual assault and strangulation, stabbing, and this is all done by a 14-year-old.
A 14-year-old does the sexual assault, strangulation, and stabbing?
Yes, yes.
By a 14-year-old? That's a child.
I know. So,
okay.
I wish there was a book on this, but there's not.
God,
yet.
You love reading some books.
I do love reading some fucking books.
I wish I love reading books as much as I love watching documentaries.
Oh, I love watching a documentary, too. Don't get me wrong.
I can watch documentary from, like, true crime. And God, my husband gives me shit about this. Because we were watching something the other night that was just a movie. Completely fictional movie.
Right.
About a serial killer.
Yeah.
I was on edge. I literally couldn't almost finish watching it. And he said, there's something wrong with you. He's like, you do true crime for a fucking living, and you're scared of this movie over here. I don't know.
You do get really freaked out with the scary movies.
I do. And it's
but
the,
then we
the
can talk about some gruesome shit in
oh,
here.
Oh, yeah. And then I can sleep like an angel for the rest of the night. And that's fucking crazy, right? Maybe. You know, I'm just fucked up in my own way.
We are all fucked up in our
own
way.
But I enjoy it over here. Yes. I'm having fun over here. Yes. So
I'm not looking to change it.
No, yeah. No.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
I will continue to be scared of scary movies, and I will continue to watch true crime at my leisure.
Yes. All right, so let's dive in.
Let's dive.
Here we go.
I'm ready, bitch.
Philip Chisholm was born January 21st, 1999, in Clarksville, Tennessee.
1999? Mm-hmm. Well, you did say he was 14.
Okay. Yes, when this happened.
Yeah, this is young.
His parents are Stacy Tremaine Chisholm and Diana Chisholm. His parents had a very tumultuous relationship. There was a lot of cheating going on. At one point, after his father had been cheating yet again, Diana took Philip and his two siblings, his two sisters, mm-hmm. to Florida and moved in with a friend named Claudia Rodriguez. All three shared a room in her home for about a year, and then they moved back to Tennessee when Philip was 10. Philip's grandfather, Eduardo Barbieri, said that Philip's grandmother suffered from severe mental health issues mm-hmm. and that she had multiple breakdowns. It was so bad that she couldn't help raise her three children and had even had electric shock therapy done. Diana had a sister that also suffered from some mental health issues. After the move back to Tennessee, Philip was described by one of his close friends to be the normal preteen kid. He liked to skateboard, play basketball, and even helped out at home with chores.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer of 2013, Diana moved with the kids to Danvers, Massachusetts.
Okay.
The relationship took a turn, and she bounced to Massachusetts. Yeah. Danvers, Massachusetts. So, side note here. It used to be called Salem Village. Many of its residents were the ones accused of being witches during the Salem witch trials in 1692.
When you say Salem, that's exactly where my mind went. So I was wondering if this was the same place.
Well, there was a Salem village that changed its name to Danvers in 1757. And then there was also Salem Town. Salem Town and Salem Village were different. The Salem village was where the rural farmers lived, and then Salem Town seemed to be where more of the wealthier merchants lived.
Okay, but is that the touristy spot now for Salem?
I suppose.
I think so.
I think in Danvers as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Rebecca Nurse was from what is now Danvers.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Reportedly, Philip did not want to move to Massachusetts. But at his new school, Danvers High, he walked in as a 6'4", 14-year-old freshman. After he had settled in, he joined the soccer team, and most of the kids said that he was friendly and seemed to get along well with his teammates. Danvers High School had about 1,000 students and 100 teachers. The mascot is the Falcon. This was the Danvers High Falcons.
Falcons.
Yep.
You said
Fountain. Jesus got me fumbling over here.
Girl, it's okay. I follow you.
This school was well equipped with security cameras. In fact, there were 140 cameras placed all around this school, and they also had security personnel. So I guess that would be like what we call our SRO officers.
Right.
So that's the police officer that is at the school. Yeah.
Keeping the peace.
But as the weeks dragged on, Philip's teammates noticed that he became more quiet. One of his teammates said that he could ask Philip a question and he wouldn't even respond, that he would just kind of stare off into nothing.
Mm.
At Danvers High, Philip had a math teacher named Colleen Ritzer. Miss Ritzer was said to be a wonderful teacher. She was 24 years old, and this was her second year teaching at Danvers High. She was well-liked by the faculty at work, and even the students that she taught said that she was easy to talk to and said that she made learning math fun. And well, any teacher that can make math
teacher,
fun.
Right. They can, yeah.
For those of us who do not have that math brain.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And especially when you start throwing, like, letters in with the numbers.
Yeah. See, letters,
my brain,
the
just,
alphabet does not belong in math.
Not in my brain.
In my brain.
I can count money.
As long as I can count my money.
I'm good at counting money.
Bitch, we went to the same. At the same time, we're like, as long as we can count our money.
Right, right.
That's the math I need to know.
Absolutely. Well, Colleen would even stay after school to help tutor students if they needed it. As early as 3, Colleen realized her love for helping others through the caring efforts of her favorite preschool teacher, who would also become her mentor and lifelong friend. Watching her preschool teacher open her students' minds to the world of learning planted a seed with Colleen that would eventually blossom into a love for teaching. This interest grew throughout elementary and high school, but it was during her senior year at Assumption College in 2011 when Colleen discovered that teaching was not only the career that she would pursue, but also her calling. Colleen was very close with her family, especially her parents, and she actually still lived with her parents because she was only 24.
Right.
On October 22nd, 2013, it was just like any other school day. Colleen, just like she had many other times, stayed after school to help some students with math, and one of these students was Philip Chisholm.
This is the 14-year-old.
This is the 14-year-old. Yes. Okay. Yes. So what I'm going to describe to you is what happens the evening of October 22nd, 2013.
Does this require a shot?
It might require one afterwards.
Okay. Yeah. We're half a bottle deep.
Yes. So we can move along.
I can wait till after.
We can.
I didn't know about the audience though.
Yeah.
Do they need a
moment of silence for you to take your shot.
Cheers, bitches. We're gonna drink afterwards. Proceed.
All right. So at 6:24 PM on October 22nd, 2013, Diana Chisholm called the police to report her son missing. She told them that her 14-year-old son had never come home from school. The police pinged his cell phone and got a hit at the Hollywood Hits movie theater.
Okay.
Police head to the movie theater. They don't find his phone, but they did find out that Philip had been there and had watched a movie.
Okay.
They also found out that he had used Colleen Ritzer's credit card to pay for his movie ticket.
Okay.
They tried pinging his phone again, but came up with nothing. So the phone had been turned off.
Turned off at this point. Yeah.
So the police go and they post on all their social media about Philip's disappearance. So by 9 p.m., the principal of Danvers High, Sue Ambrosevich, concerned about having a missing student, emails her staff to let them know Philip was missing. After receiving the email from the principal, another math teacher and friend of Colleen Ritzer calls Principal Ambrosevich to let her know that Colleen Ritzer was also missing and that her parents had called the other math teacher, to find out if she knew where Colleen was because she had never come home.
Wow.
Colleen was normally home by 3:30 every day. Her parents had been calling her. She wasn't answering. And she had also not posted on any of her social media. And Colleen was the type of math teacher, like, she would post on her social media, like, funny math jokes and what her students' assignments were, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This math teacher, her name was Sarah, the friend of Colleen's. She told Principal Ambrosevich that Colleen had stayed after school to do some tutoring and that Philip Chisholm, the missing student, was one of the students that had stayed over after school.
So not the only student, just one of the students.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know how many?
There weren't more than three. Yeah, okay. Like 3 or 4 at max. Okay. And there may have only been him and another student there.
But he was definitely one of those students.
He was definitely one of those students.
And then
they're both missing. Yes. At this point, Principal Ambrosevich calls the police, and they helped organize a group that included Colleen's parents to go to the school and search for Colleen and Philip. Colleen's car was still in the parking lot of the school, so they went in the school to search her classroom, and none of her belongings were there.
Car's there, but nothing else that belongs to her is there.
Yes, yes.
But are her belongings in the car? No.
No, no. This is when Colleen's parents went to file a missing persons report for Colleen.
Yeah, because by this time, if you don't have your cell phone,
yes,
something's wrong.
Your car is still at work.
But none of your shit's there. But you're not here.
None of your belongings are here.
Your purse, your cell phone, nothing. Yeah, right. Something's fishy. Right.
Once a missing persons report was filed, the police pinged Colleen's phone, and they found it near the middle school, which was about a mile and a half away from the high school. The police decided to go look at the camera footage at the school, because remember, they've got 140 cameras set up at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And Officer Steve Balthazar was especially interested in the after-school footage, because they knew Colleen was in school.
Was tutoring after school.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through what was on the camera footage.
Okay.
On the camera footage at 2:30 p.m., you see Colleen speaking outside her classroom to her friend Sarah. That's the math teacher that had called Principal Ambrosevich to let her know Colleen was missing.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:45, you see Colleen Ritzer walk to the women's bathroom right by her classroom. And as soon as she walks in the bathroom, you see Philip come out of the classroom.
Mm.
And he has a blue zip-up hoodie on. Then he immediately goes back into the classroom. And then you see him on the camera again walking out of the classroom, but he has the hoodie pulled up over his head this time. And he pulls gloves out of the pocket of the hoodie and puts them on as he is making his way to the women's bathroom where Colleen is.
Nope.
Now, these cameras, there were none in the classrooms. They were in hallways. And obviously, there's not one in the bathroom. So.
If somebody walks in with a hoodie on, comes back out with a hoodie, you're still going to know it's the same hoodie.
As we're walking through the rest of this, he does a lot of irrational things. You know, like he walked outside. You obviously can see him. You know who it is. But then he walks in the classroom, pulls his hoodie up, and then walks back out of the classroom and heads to the bathroom.
It's the same damn person.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So, about 10 minutes later, you see a student walk into the women's bathroom and then immediately turn around and walk out. Just a few minutes later, you see Philip walk out of the bathroom, and the hood is still pulled up over his head, and his hands are covered in dark red blood. Philip then proceeds to wander around the school, going inside, outside, for no good reason at all. After he had randomly walked around for a couple minutes, he went back into Colleen's classroom.
Mm-hmm.
When he walks into her classroom, he has his blue zip-up hoodie on.
Still over his head, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
But when he comes back out, he's wearing a red zip-up hoodie, but he just has it draped over his head. Like, he's not actually wearing it, he's just draped it over his head.
So you can still see his face plain.
Yes. He had a black bag that was thrown over his shoulder, a gray and yellow book bag, and was carrying a purple bag in one of his hands. The camera footage then shows him going outside and coming back into the school with no bags. And this time he has a mask on, but it's the type of mask that you can wear around your neck and then you pull it up over your nose and mouth.
Yes, like we all wore during COVID.
Yeah. So he has one of those on. He comes back in the school.
In the same motherfucking clothes.
Right now.
Like, you're completely identifiable.
Right. It makes no sense. He wanders around a little more and returns to the women's bathroom that Colleen never walked back out of.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he is pulling a large trash can, like one with the wheels.
Oh, my God.
No more than 10 minutes later, you see Philip coming out of the bathroom, rolling the trash can. And he no longer has the red hoodie draped over his head. He was caught on several different cameras rolling the trash can outside, even walking past a guy that was walking his dog.
Mm-hmm.
Then about 30 minutes later at 4 p.m., he is seen on the camera again, and he's barefoot. He doesn't have the trash can anymore, and he has blood on his jeans and shirt. Philip goes to his locker, and he's barefoot, grabs out a white bag, and then goes back to the bathroom. When he comes out of the bathroom, he's wearing all black, a black hoodie, black basketball shorts, and he's still barefoot. After this, he goes outside again, then comes back in at 4:24 wearing shoes. He spends the next 7 minutes aimlessly wandering around the school before he finally leaves school property at 4:31 p.m.
Well, I guarantee you he was trying to be seen by some people. He's trying to create an alibi.
I don't really even know what he was trying to do, to be honest. There are 140 cameras at this school.
Yeah.
It's very easy with him changing, you know, it doesn't.
You're not fooling nobody.
You're not fooling anybody. Right. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So let's go and take that shot now.
Okay. Yeah, that was a lot to digest.
Because like I said, there's no cameras, obviously, in the bathrooms.
Right.
Or in the classrooms. So this is just hallway footage.
But once a person goes in a room that there's only one entrance and
exit.
And
you never see her walk out.
You never see him come out.
Yeah.
But this motherfucker keeps going in and out and then brings a big-ass trash can
and he's
out.
Changing clothes.
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, fill your cups
up. I need it. Jesus.
Cheers, bitches.
Cheers, bitches.
Mm.
Amen.
So good. So good. Now, while the camera footage was being reviewed, there's a lot of searching going on while all this is happening. So there's like several different things happening all around the same time. They're looking for Philip. They're looking for Colleen. They're reviewing footage, searching the school. Now, they're scouring the school grounds, and 10 minutes away from Danvers High, in a town called Topsfield, the police picked up a tall guy walking down the road. The police thought this was very weird because this is a dangerous road to be walking down late at night. It's not just the kind of road that people would normally walk down, period, but especially in shorts when it's cold and late at night.
Right.
When the police were asking him who he was just kind of out there. He's very quiet. He didn't make eye contact. He...
evasive as fuck.
Yeah, hardly spoke. They had heard, obviously, of this missing teenager from Danvers, 10 minutes away, and they assumed that this might be him, so they took him to the station. At the police station, the cops inventory his pockets and the bag he was carrying. They find Colleen's credit cards and driver's license, and a blood-stained box cutter.
Oh, my God.
When the police ask him where the blood came from, Philip simply said, the girl.
Oh, so he just went ahead and admitted it.
Yeah, that's all he said. But it's very quiet, just...
But at least he admitted the
girl. Staring off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it was distant.
He just said, the girl.
Yeah.
Now, Philip changed his story a couple times when the police asked where he got Colleen's things. He said that he found her stuff at a gas station. Then he said he took them out of her car. So he was kind of fucking with them there, too.
Yeah. Which, if he had some real mental health issues.
Oh, he definitely has some mental health issues. But
that could have been what actually played out in his mind.
And that'll be something we can talk about here in a minute. So Philip was taken back to Danvers Police Department. And there he waived his Miranda rights and started talking. His mother, Diana, was there by this time, and she was doubled over crying. She was shocked at what she was hearing her son say.
Right.
Diana.
Anybody would be.
Yeah. Diana did ask for a lawyer a few times, but she was not given one. This resulted in Philip's confession being thrown out by the courts later.
Yeah. If you ask for an attorney... all questioning, all everything has to stop right then.
Right.
And you get your attorney, then you can continue.
Right.
So why was her, why did they ignore her?
They just didn't.
Well, that's not going to hold up. Yeah.
Right.
Obviously
so the confession was never able to be used in court. So what happened in the bathroom? Well, per the other student that was in Colleen's classroom getting some after school.
Tutoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Miss Ritzer was talking to Philip and trying to be nice and asking him about where he used to live in Tennessee. And the student said that Philip, as soon as she mentioned Tennessee, acted upset. And I don't know if the student was male, female. That's why I keep saying the student.
Right.
But the student said that Miss Ritzer obviously noticed his change in demeanor when she mentioned Tennessee. Because she changed the subject at that point.
She's trying to calm him back down.
Right. The student also said that Philip was in there kind of talking to himself.
Okay.
After this conversation where Tennessee was mentioned.
That set him off.
That kind of set him off, yeah.
Okay.
After the tutoring was over, Colleen stepped out of her classroom to go to the bathroom, and Philip followed her in there. He surprised her. And gear up, because I'm about to tell you what happened to her. So he surprised her and punched her 2 times in the face.
Okay.
And in that bathroom, he raped, strangled, and stabbed Colleen at least 16 times and slit her throat.
Wait a minute. He stabbed. Okay. So he raped her and then he strangled her. She's dead.
They don't know, because there's no cameras. You don't know what order.
Okay.
All this happened in. But necrophilia was never mentioned. So I'm assuming the rape happened while she was still alive.
Right. But.
But they know this is what happened to her. If
he strangled her and she's dead, why did he need to stab her?
There was overkill here. Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely overkill. She was stabbed at least 16 times. Her throat was slit. While this was happening, that student that I said had walked in and immediately walked back out.
Uh-huh.
Said that she just saw a bare butt when she walked in there, and she thought someone was changing, so she just turned immediately around and walked back out. So she didn't actually see what was happening. She just seen
skin,
Philip's ass.
And she was like,
she didn't
out.
Even know that it was a guy. You know, it was
she
that
just saw
quick.
Skin, right.
Yes, it was that quick. At 3 a.m. on October 23rd, because they had been, I mean, ever since that evening at 6:24 when they called to say, Diana called to say that Philip was missing. They had been searching for Philip and Colleen.
Right.
Well, at 3 a.m. on October 23rd, police see something sticking up out of the leaves, and they realize it's a toe with pink toenail polish. They find Colleen's body. She had been explicitly posed.
Under legs, the leaves?
Yeah, he sprinkled leaves on her. Mm. Yeah. But she had been posed. Her legs were spread. She was nude from the waist down. Not only has she been posed for shock value, but Philip had stuck a tree branch in her vagina and
what?
Left it there.
What?
So she was there with this branch coming out of her.
The fuck you want to stick a tree branch in a vagina for?
Why the fuck would he do this at all?
Oh, right. Well, he's 14. Know? His brain isn't even developed.
This is nuts. And next to her bloody, battered body was a note that simply said, I hate you all.
A note?
Yes. A note was folded up and laid next to her body. So he intended for them to find her.
Her in this position with this tree branch. With the note?
Yes, that says, I hate you all.
Wow.
Next to her body was Philip's book bag, the trash can, and his bloody clothes. And he had even hung his bloody jeans up in a tree.
What?
It's like some of this shit does not make any sense.
None of
And then
of
some
what
of it is so
said.
Calculating.
None of what you just said makes any sense.
Right. This was horrific and devastating to Colleen's family, obviously. Yeah. They could not believe that their daughter was brutally murdered by a 14-year-old student.
Right?
Philip was sent to Worcester State Hospital to await trial.
Mm-hmm.
While he was there, at age 15, Philip attacked a female employee. He planned his attack. He watched her, and he zeroed in on her. And when she went to this bathroom locker room area, he actually hid, like he ducked down, going down the hallway. In just one source, I seen that he actually removed his shoes
to
so
be
you
quieter,
wouldn't hear him. Yes.
Premeditated as fuck.
Yes. And he was ducking other employees creeping down the hall to this bathroom locker room area. Once inside, he attacked the employee by choking her and beating her. And one of my sources said that he was wielding a pencil as a weapon, but it didn't say that she was stabbed with the pencil. So I don't know if he was going to act like he was going to stab her with it so that he could get a hold of her.
I'm thinking I could survive a pencil stab. I'm going to.
Depending on where he stabs it.
I'm going to fight the fuck out of you.
Oh, yeah. You need to fight.
Even a pencil stab in the eye.
biggest straight like, carotid up in your artery. Eye. I don't know. But he was choking her and beating her when other staffers heard the commotion and ran in to intervene. And if they hadn't, Philip would have had victim number two.
Yeah, he'd have fucking killed her. He would have
his
not
sole
stopped.
Intention was to kill her.
Yeah.
Prosecutors requested that Philip not be allowed in any part of that hospital that is not securely locked, not be allowed to leave without prosecutor's consent, and not be left alone with female staff or patients, according to these court documents.
Right. Because he's a fucking danger.
100%.
Obviously. He has proved that. Yes.
He's a danger. Philip Chisholm was indicted for the murder, aggravated rape, and armed robbery of Colleen Ritzer.
Mm-hmm.
He was tried as an adult. And on February 26, 2016, at the age of 16, Philip was told he would serve life in prison with the possibility of parole in 25 years on a murder charge. He received 40-year concurrent sentences on the rape and robbery charges.
Right. Okay.
He's kept at the Sousa Baranowski Correctional Center in Shirley, Massachusetts. Philip's defense attorneys tried to play the insanity card, saying that he was hearing voices at the time of the murder.
It never worked. Reason by insanity?
Yeah.
Not guilty by reason insanity never works.
And they tried to say that he was in a psychotic episode when he killed Colleen, but the jury rejected that.
Okay. Just hearing you tell this story, just what you've told me.
Yeah.
This is totally premeditated. This is calculated. This is covering my steps.
Right.
This is trying to not get caught. This is all the above, that he is completely mentally competent of what he is doing.
Right. Right.
Bullshit.
Well, and here's my thing too. Some of it was very calculated, and some of it is this wandering and, you know, half-assed attempts to have a hoodie on and change clothes. Like,
but
some
he's 14.
Of it, but I think that could be, yeah, the 14-year-old in here.
Right.
Now, I don't know if he intended to specifically kill Colleen, but I feel like he was coming there to kill somebody. He wanted to kill somebody. I don't know if Colleen just set him off when she talked about Tennessee and that was the trigger.
Right. Was she talking about where he grew
up? Or was she being
his
stalked
main,
by him?
Right.
Yeah, like, was he...
Was she the main focus altogether, you know, from the beginning?
Right. And we don't
know
that.
We'll never know. We'll never know.
We don't know that. The jury was not able to watch his confession tape because they had been thrown out due to Diana Chisholm asking for the lawyer and not receiving one.
Right. Which, that's kind of fucked up, especially because he's 14.
Right, right. They could have done better on that.
That's kind of fucked up.
But they did get, the jury did get to go on a tour of the school and see where the murder happened. And they were able to watch the video footage from the school. Mm-hmm. And the video footage, I mean, even though you don't actually see the murder,
it's enough.
You see, you know,
you
she walked in there
together,
absolutely.
And didn't fucking
and
come
never
out.
Never walked out.
Right.
Yes.
Right. You put the pieces together.
They felt it was evident that Philip had planned to murder because he had brought gloves and a change of clothes.
Yeah, he was fucking
prepared. And then just like
prepared.
I said before, I'm not sure if he was just planning on murdering someone or if he had targeted Colleen before the murder happened.
I feel like he targeted.
He may have.
I feel like he targeted
He may very
her.
Well have.
And then
you have that change in him weeks before where he just goes more quiet.
Yeah.
And then you've got that other student that hears him mumbling in the classroom, talking to himself.
But he targeted her, and then he was waiting on his opportunity.
He did.
And he got
as soon as she stepped out, he's like looking out, yep, she's in the bathroom.
That's why I feel like he targeted her. So he was watching every... Otherwise, he wouldn't have noticed that little detail.
Yeah. Or was he... Is it like, that's a trigger word, and this is a perfect opportunity. She's easy taken, you know.
I think he targeted her.
He could have very well. We'll never know. During the trial, everyone learned that there was a janitor that had gone into the bathroom to clean it and found a huge amount of blood. There was blood everywhere.
Okay.
He told the police it was on the walls, it was all over the floor, it had splashed up on the bathroom stall. And he went to his supervisors to try to tell him about all the blood he found, but because this janitor didn't speak good English, the supervisor thought that he had spilled the blue cleaning fluid that they used in the bathroom. And I guess he was saying blood, but they thought he was saying blue.
Okay. I'm not saying that that couldn't be a misunderstanding, because it could. But let's get somebody that fucking communicates a little bit. If you got blood everywhere.
Yes.
Let's get somebody that communicates a little bit better.
Right.
And let them know the extreme circumstances this fucking.
Right.
This ain't cleaning solution. This is blood everywhere.
Well, the supervisor just told him, well, clean it up.
Oh, my God.
So, police only found a blood smear that was Colleen's blood and some blood that was on the door frame of the bathroom. Well, it's on the door, inside part of the door that fits in the door frame.
So,
that had just, splashed up.
Just what they had missed.
Yes, just what was missed.
Very, very minute,
yes,
tiny
but
little.
But the janitor said it was everywhere in there.
Oh.
But if she'd been stabbed 16 times.
Yes. Yeah, it had to be everywhere.
Yeah.
The off spray, the back spray, the right? Everything. Yeah.
Colleen's parents were shattered, obviously.
Obviously.
Peggy Ritzer, her mother, she said her daughter's death had left her so very broken. She said, now I isolate myself from people I love because pretending to be happy is so difficult.
Mm.
And she said, he is pure evil, and evil can never be rehabilitated. And I thought, that's it right there. Evil cannot be rehabilitated. Pure evil. I think
cannot.
She's right with that.
She's,
yeah.
She's exactly right. But this kid's 14. How do you know if he's pure evil? His brain's not even developed. I'm not saying it wasn't an evil act.
Oh, yeah.
It
and
was.
Then the fact that he attacked another woman while he was awaiting trial for doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Tom Ritzer, Colleen's dad, said that he felt like he had failed his daughter. He said, I didn't protect Colleen. A dad's job is to fix things, he said. I would do anything if I could fix this for Colleen. And in one of the sources I read, her dad had actually stopped by the school that very afternoon she was murdered to see his daughter's classroom, because he had never been inside her classroom. And he walked in and popped his head in her room, but she wasn't in there. And so he left, and this was around the time that she was murdered.
Oh,
it was within minutes of, yeah.
Oh,
from what that source said.
How devastating.
Yeah.
How devastating.
I can't even fathom. But, you know, there's not a whole lot. I mean, there's tons of articles out there, but, you know, you're piecing it together. That's why I love a book, because it, like, unfolds.
Brings it
over years of research, right? So, it doesn't say. He did have a childhood that was kind of rocky, you know, moving place to place, not a stable home life.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is the norm for a lot of people. There are a lot of people who have lived that exact same life and then didn't turn around and do this.
Yes. Especially at such a young age.
But I didn't see anywhere where they talked about him personally having any thing that concerned them as far as mental health issues go. They said his grandmother and his aunt, but it didn't specifically say that he had prior
been diagnosed with anything.
Yes. Prior to this event.
Well, I mean, he's so young. Jesus, he's only 14 and they may not have a chance to do it yet.
True, true. And a lot of different mental health issues do present as teenagers.
Teenagers, right.
Yeah. So it may have been something that was, you know, just happening. I don't know. But he definitely...
He knew wrong from right.
Yes. Yes. Because he took measures to cover it. But then at the same time, he also had her displayed. So for that shock value, so it's like he wanted it to be seen.
If it was going to be seen,
but he left his book bag
it, right?
beside her body
well,
with his...
He's not smart.
So you're like, is this the dumb, poor
kid.
Planning of a 14-year-old?
It is.
Because
who just wanted
you
to feel.
Stalked her down that hallway. Mm-hmm. You put on gloves and went in there and assaulted her.
Mm-hmm.
You murdered her. And
viciously.
Yeah, you planned that. Like, you brought shit with you.
To do
something
that,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah. But then you have all this other unorganized behavior. He's wandering around the school.
That's just because he was... All he was thinking about
was it a high or coming down from it after the murder? It could be. I don't know.
Right.
There's no, but he is still in jail now and he needs to stay there. He is definitely not safe for women to be around.
No. And he would continue to do that.
I agree with Peggy Ritzer when pure evil cannot be rehabilitated.
I agree. And you know, last week I did the whole death row minisode, and the same thing falls into play.
Yeah.
Whether you're mentally challenged or not, can people be rehabilitated?
Yeah.
Rehabilitated, period. Enough to where it's...
I think some can, I think some can't.
Not to necessarily where it erases your crime. That will never happen. But where you can try to make up for it.
Yeah. Be a functioning human in society.
Like prison does what it's supposed to do, and it rehabilitates you.
Right, which rarely happens, I think.
Rarely.
Yeah.
Rarely. This case, not so much.
Yeah.
He's 14 years old.
I feel like he's a fucking problem.
Some shit like yes. This? No.
And he's a big kid. I mean, he was 6'4".
Yeah. No.
And she's 24-year-old teacher.
No. Yeah. 14? No. You're trying some shit like this at 14? Imagine what the fuck he would try at 24 or 34.
Right. Hell, even at 15, what would he have done?
Exactly.
And he's in a facility where he knows there are other people around, and he could be caught. It was the same way, like, as the school.
He didn't care.
So, is there a thrill there of trying to see if you can murder her?
No, and not I think get he caught? Just wanted to do it, and he did it.
So, yeah. Did he think about it and just be like, yeah,
I'm gonna
I want
do
her.
That. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He just wanted to do it, and he did it.
Well, I hope he stays there for a very long time.
Okay, we need to take another shot.
Let's do a shot.
We've been debating.
I know that he is, well, he's in his 20s now, so I can say this. I hope that prison is fucking terrible, and I hope he gets ass raped every day.
You need
I hope he gets choked out on a regular basis as well.
Yeah, you need to understand what it's like to be raped against your will.
Yeah.
So, cheers to that happening
often. Every day, often. All the time.
Cheers, bitches.
I needed that little sweet finish.
That one did have a little coconutty.
It did.
That one did.
We need a little tropical vibe after being in Massachusetts where it's cold in October.
Right?
Well, guys, we hope that you keep listening. If you need to, go do a little shopping after this episode.
Right on the show notes.
Down in the show notes. Go get you some Murder and Moonshine merchandise.
I'm wearing a Murder and Moonshine t-shirt right now.
Yes, she is.
As we speak.
Yes, she is.
Go get yours.
And until next time, be good, stay out of trouble, or don't get caught.
Bye, bitches.
We hope you keep listening and find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Murder and Moonshine.
We would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at murderandmoonshine@gmail.com.